for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903.
This is the 2010 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, February the 20th, 2010. Diane Stone is the speaker of the service, teaching on A Wounded Spirit.
Okay, ladies, I taught school for 31 years. When the bell rings, it is time for class. So it is exactly 15 minutes after 1, and it's time to start. I always loved the 1:15 because it's always the people that can really push through that shows up at the 1:15. So many people have to go and take that nap, and that's okay, you know, but the ones that usually come at 1:15, they're really, really pushing in and really, really serious about the Lord. So, Lord, I just lift this meeting up to you now. Lord, I just lift it up and I ask your presence to be here. God, I ask you to anoint my words. Lord, I pray that I don't say anything in self, Lord, but God, that you speak through me. In the name of Jesus, I bind all spirits that would come against anyone receiving help in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits that would come against your hearing in the name of Jesus. I loose it now. I bind all spirits that would come against you seeing things in the Word in the name of Jesus. I break all witchcraft curses. I break all strongholds. I break anything that would come against this meeting in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I hand it up to you. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Turn to Leviticus 17:11. We've had two great messages. And I want to back these messages up now with the Word of God and show you where these things are and to take forth a little bit further what the two ladies have been ministering. You know, it is so wonderful because none of us really know what the other one is teaching. I don't talk to these ladies and they don't talk to me and I don't think they talk to each other. And so it's by the Spirit of God that these messages are coming forth because God knows what we need. And so Leviticus 17:11 says, all right, I'm going to go down to the first part of the verse. That's what I'm going to read. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. What is the life of the flesh? So many times we read these scriptures, but do we really realize what we're reading? The life of the flesh is the seat of the emotions, the mind, the will, the activity of the character. It is the soul. Your soul is in the blood. Your emotions, these things that these ladies have been talking about, is in the blood. The blood that flows through your body, all out, all the arteries, all the veins, there is your soul man. Where your character is found, where the emotions are found, where all this seat of activity is found. Turn to Proverbs 14:10. It says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. A sound heart, a healthy heart, a cured heart. Oh, I mean, well, maybe it's a good word. Maybe it's Psalms. Let's try that. Excuse me. It's in there, guys. If it's not that, you'll have to help me. Right, and that's not it. Okay. All right, let's try Psalms 14:10. And there's no 10. All right, this is in there. I trust you. I don't know where it is, but it's there. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Remember, the life of the flesh is your seat of emotions. It's the activity of the mind, the activity of the will, the activity of the character. It's your soulish part. And it says a sound heart, which is a healthy heart or a cured heart, means that when you have a sound heart, then your soul that is in the blood is sound. But 30? What is it? 14:30. All right. Proverbs 14:30. Thank you, Jamie. But it says, envy And envy is anger. It's sexual passions. It is jealousies. It's wrath. It says this is rottenness to the bones. And rottenness means it decays the bones. And the bones, it goes even further than osteoporosis. It goes the whole eternal body. It decays your body. If you've got sexual passions, jealousies, wrath, anger that's flowing through your soul, which is flowing through your blood, your whole body, you're opening yourself up to disease and things that can attack you in the physical realm. So that is the reason. It just doesn't stop. It goes all through you, and then you become very, very sick if you don't take care of it. It is death, even to the point that you will die prematurely. You will not get in this group over here. You may not even get to the 50s group. You may not even get to the 40s group. If you have unforgiveness in your heart and you have self-pity and all these things, you may perish right where you're at. Now, turn with me to Nehemiah 8:10. This is what we want to do. 8:10. And we sing this a lot. Jane plays this a lot. The very last part of this verse, Nehemiah 8:10, says, "For the joy of the Lord is our strength." When you have that joy that's flowing down through your blood and in your body, then you've got healing in your body. You can't fake this joy. It doesn't work. You can get up here and laugh and pretend and all that, but if you don't actually have that joy flowing through your soul, that you've taken care of all these issues, all these anger issues, all these unforgiveness issues, all these self-pity issues, then your body is not going to be, you are not going to be strong. Because it says that is our strength. But I don't think that most of us have realized how that flows through our blood, throughout our whole body, and how it affects our whole being. Turn to Proverbs 18:14. "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" What does that mean? It means that the spirit of man can endure a physical ailment, such as sickness or disease, but if you are inwardly wounded, if you are inwardly crushed, if you're inwardly stricken inside, no man can endure this. And some of us in this room have been injured for a long, long time. Back in childhood, things have happened that these ladies have talked to you about earlier. Molestation. The dad wasn't present. Maybe you had a great childhood, but then when you got married, you didn't have such a great husband. You were disappointed in him once you married him. Things didn't go like you thought they should. You've hung on for years and years and years. You've been abused. You think you're over it. One day you think, okay, I can handle this. And then the next day you catch yourself crying and wounded. And things that will bring you back into these situations might just be some word that someone says to you that reminded you of what that person did. Or you might see a husband and a wife that have a great marriage. They might not, but you think they do, and then you think, oh, if my marriage was just like that. And then your mind wanders and goes, and your spirit is wounded, and you've never gotten over these things because it's throughout your body, and it's going to start affecting you physically. Maybe not in your 20s, but the older you get and the longer you hang on to this wounded spirit, the more of a chance you have of it manifesting in your body. God doesn't want this. God wants you totally healed. Some of you have blocked these things out. I'm good. I'm fine. You know, I've had people from time to time, I'll say, would you like prayer? Oh, no, I'm good. I'm good. Fine. I don't need it. Got a handle on it. And you know they're hurting. That's pride. And I'm telling you, and I've said this many, many times, however God wants to deliver me, I want it. I want it. I have been teaching seminars. And one time, I've said this before, some of you have heard me say this, I was praying for this young man, and I was up in Missouri with my husband, and he had trouble smoking, and we were praying the nicotine off of him and other things. And when he started manifesting with the nicotine, I started manifesting. And the people in out there, they looked at me like, well, you're the leader. And I explained to them later, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life except one time I was in college and I smoked a whole pack just all at once to see if I could do it. You know, just crazy stuff. But my mom, she smoked till the day she died. My dad smoked cigars until one day he went to the dentist and he was scared because something went wrong in his mouth and he quit. So I had all this in the bloodline, see? And so when God, and I explained that to him and I said, I wasn't aware of it. Sometimes we've got stuff in here that we're not aware that we've got. So if God wants to touch that, if someone comes up to you and you know they're anointed of God, and even if they're not, you know, whatever, but you feel okay about that, and they say, can I pray for you? Don't refuse that. Don't say, I'm okay. Take the prayer. You never know what's going to come out. And that just gives you more freedom in God. It makes you closer to God. You become more one in God. A couple of weeks ago, you know, I thought I was fine in this area that I'm talking to you about. I thought I was fine. I had gone through two other marriages before Tom. I thought I had been healed of all that. And then when Tom and I got married, it was like we didn't hit each other with pots and pans, but boy, it was really something because neither one of us had ever had deliverance. We were saved, but we went through a time, be quiet, Jane. Jane knows us real well. We went through a time that was very, very hard. And Tom and I still have issues, but not as many as we had when we first got married. And it wounded my spirit. It wounded me and it hurt me. And I had been stuffing it and stuffing it and stuffing it. And it wasn't my first marriage that was messing me up. I'd already taken care of that. It wasn't the second marriage. I'd already taken care of that. But it was with my husband now. And so as God started revealing this, we were at a prayer meeting. I have a wonderful new daughter-in-law. I love her very much. Jamie, she laughs a lot. A lot of you have experienced that laughter in the cafeteria. And we were in a prayer meeting, and all of a sudden I just burst out. And I just started crying. And they were all looking at me like this. And I realized that the things we were studying, I had hurt in there. And I had to forgive Tom for some things that he did in the first part of our marriage. It was a volcano that just exploded. But you know what? I wasn't embarrassed about it. I told Jamie the next day, I said, you know what? I feel good. I feel released. I said, I had a wounded spirit, and I didn't even know it. And so that's what I'm telling you. You never get to a point, whether you're in the 20s group, the 30s and 40s group, the 50s group, over here, the mature 60s and over group, you never get to a point that you get beyond deliverance. You get beyond God touching you. And if you ever get to that point, that's not a good place to be. So, look at Proverbs 17:22. We should be close. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart, a joyful heart. And the heart there is your soul part. It's the part that runs through your blood, that goes all through your body. It's the innermost part. It's the seat of your emotions and passions. It's your mind, your thinking, your conscience, your moral character, the seat of appetites. It's all that. So when you have a joyful emotions and a joyful mind, and this flows all through your body, it's good like a medicine. It's like a cure. It's like a healing power of God. But if you were like me and you had this broken spirit, inwardly you were crushed and you were wounded and you were stricken, then it says it drieth up your bones. And again, that means it dries up the very life that is within you. You can function, but not to the fullness that God desires you to be. And some of you are thinking, well, you don't know my situation. You don't know how my husband is. You don't know how my father was. Yeah, I know. I've been married 3 times. But you know what? I don't have any unforgiveness in my heart this day toward any of them. And I lived in abusive situations that were not fun. You can do that with the joy of the Lord, and He is your strength, and that His blood, why did He die? Because our blood is infected. His blood was pure. His blood covers us. It covers all these things. And we can release those things in our soul, and we can get rid of it, and we don't have to be wounded. We just have to be willing. Some of you say, well, I don't know about this blood thing. Let me tell you something. We have had a neighbor that had a heart transplant. Before he had the heart transplant, he did not like chocolate. He did not like the fish. After he had the heart transplant, he loved chocolate. And he fished every day. And he said, I don't get this. I don't understand why all of a sudden I like all this chocolate and I want to fish all the time. He went back to the parents of the boy's heart that he got, that the blood flew through that heart. And they told him, they said, our son loved to fish and he loved chocolate. Yeah. And he that blood that was flowing through there was part of that boy's soul. The soul is in the blood. I had a grandson that is now 10 years old, very precious grandson. But when he was, before he turned a year old, he was in his little walker, and their stove had gone out, and my daughter was cooking macaroni in a big wok in their kitchen. And so he wanted to go in there where the macaroni was, and she had turned her back, and he was in the living room, and he pedaled in there, and he yanked the cord. And the water had just started boiling, and she just put the needles in, and it just poured all over him, all this boiling water. And they rushed him. They Metaflighted him to Dallas, and he was in the burn unit for 3 months. But on the way, my son called the hospital, and he said, I want to find out about my nephew, Ricky. And they said, we can't give you that information. He called me, and he said, Mom, Ricky's dead. I'm saying this to tell you what kind of God we have. I said, are you sure? He said, I know. I know in my spirit Ricky is dead. And I said, you know what? It's not too great a thing for God. Correct. And our family bound together as we were driving down. My dad and I were driving to Dallas. And my son and his family were at their house. And we all bound together in prayer. And we sought God with all our heart. I mean, we sought Him for this little boy. And my son called back 30 minutes later. And any of you that are in the medical field, you understand what they were saying. He said, I really would like to know about my nephew, Ricky. And he said, we've upgraded him to critical. He died. And so Ricky today, he has some scars on his face, but his whole face was basically clear. He has some scars on his chest, on his leg. But to look at Ricky unless you thought about it, you would not know that he has scars on him. Well, when he was in the hospital, he had to have blood transfusions. And my daughter and my son-in-law learned how to pray. They bound all those things in that blood that came from the other person. And Ricky is still Ricky. He didn't get any effects of that blood or from that soul of that other person. So if you ever have to have blood transfusions, remember to pray over the blood, or any of your loved ones have any, pray over that blood before you receive any of it, because you will get part of that other person's soul. Okay. Turn to Proverbs 15:5. Should be just about a page over. Well, that doesn't look like the same one either. I don't know. But I don't know if that's it. The one I want is, all the days of the afflicted are evil. Okay, 15:15. Afflicted, meaning all the days of the poor, the needy, the weak. That could be some of us. All of our days, it says, are evil. That word evil in the Greek means sad, unhappy, injured, miserable, distressed. So if we are needy in any areas of our soul, our days are going to be sad, they're going to be unhappy, we're going to be injured. But he says, but he that is of a merry heart, a joyful heart, has a continual feast. You can be, I'm telling you, I am finding out, I haven't always known this, but that you can be in terrible situations, as in Psalms 91, you can be in that secret place and you can have the joy of the Lord with everything else falling around you. And that's where God is bringing us to in this end time. And we are in the end time. He is getting us ready for more. But we have to be able to stand. We have to be able to stand in situations that we have not been able to stand in before. And we have to have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, what can cause a wounded spirit or a broken heart? One thing, it can start in the wound. And some of you don't know some of the things that might have happened to you in the wound, or that you're a result of it. One thing is, a child might not be wanted. Some of you sitting in here may not have been wanted. Some of the characteristics of a child that is not wanted is striving, performance-oriented, trying to learn the right to be, apologizing all the time. Sometimes they're angry. They have a death wish on them because they don't feel wanted. They're frequently ill because their immune system is so affected by not wanting to be wanted. They have problems bonding. And sometimes they'll even refuse affection. They're like this when you go to hug them, and they don't feel comfortable with you trying to hug them. Some of you may have these characteristics. Another thing that could happen is, a child is conceived out of wedlock. Maybe you conceived a child out of wedlock, or maybe you've been conceived out of wedlock. Sometimes they have a deep sense of shame, and they have a lack of belonging anywhere. They may be in a crowd and feel all alone. They may go to a church and feel like they're not a part. Have you ever felt like that? That's the bastard curse. That's the curse that comes on you if you were born out of wedlock. Maybe when your parents had you, they were facing a bad time financially. Maybe they really didn't have the money to have a child. You might always feel like you're a burden. You might like, well, you know, I just feel like a burden in this situation. Or maybe your parents were too young and not ready to be married. You might feel like you're an intrusion. Have you ever been standing with two other people and they're talking and it's just like they kind of ignore you and you feel like you're intruding all the time, you know, and you just kind of back away? And maybe your parents were real young when they got married. Maybe your mother had poor health when she was pregnant with you. In some cases like this, you might feel a real emotional responsibility for your mother, an overprotectiveness. Maybe soul ties need to be broke between you and your mother because you're feeling more of a responsibility for her than you should. Or maybe when you were being conceived, your parents wanted a boy. They didn't want a girl. And because of that, maybe you have a sexual identity problem. Maybe you have tendencies toward homosexuality. Maybe you have dabbled in that a little bit. Maybe you don't like to do girl things. Maybe you're thinking, well, maybe I was wrong from the very beginning. That could be that maybe your dad said, oh, I was wanting a boy. And that word curse, you heard it when you came through that birth canal and was born. These things can be broken. Maybe you were a child that was followed after one or two miscarriages. Maybe your mother had one or two miscarriages before you were born. If so, you might have tendencies of being over-serious, overachieving, striving, trying to make up for the loss that your mom had. You could be angry at being a replacement, not getting to be me. Did you ever have any of those thoughts? Maybe mom had a real fear of delivery. And when you were born, you were very fearful and insecure. And maybe you had a fear of childbirth when you went to have your children. Or maybe the father died while your mother was pregnant. Or maybe your father left. You know, my children's father left when I was 3 months pregnant with my son. And my son and I had to talk through some issues because of that. It doesn't go away. It just has to be dealt with. You can't be passive. You have to be assertive, not aggressive, but assertive. And there's a difference. If the father has died or left, the child could feel guilty. They could have self-blame. My son had a lot of anger towards his father. There could be a bitter root of expectation to being abandoned. You might feel like your spouse is going to abandon you, that you're going to be all alone. You might have a death wish on you. We had to break a death wish off my son. And there could be depression. He was badly depressed. And I don't think he minds me sharing this because he's doing fine now. But this was a result of what happened because his father left me before he was born. I cried a lot. I was sad. I was sorrowful. All these things go down into your child when you're pregnant. If there's fighting in the home, if you and your spouse fought a lot, or if your parents fought a lot when you were being conceived, you might end up being very nervous, very uptight, very jumpy. My husband, he tells a testimony about when he was in the womb and his parents actually fist fought. And when we got married, when we first got married, I would reach out to touch him on the shoulder and he would go like this. And he would jump. And I'd say, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, I don't know. And so we were in a seminar, the Bill Gothard seminar. I don't know if any of you have ever gone to an excellent seminar. And he was sitting there, and he began to cry. And I said, what's wrong with you? I said, what's wrong with you? And he said, they just showed me why I jump when you try to touch me. And he said, my parents tried to abort me. And they fought, and then his dad didn't want him. And there was talk about aborting him. And the Lord told him, he said, if you don't believe me, he said, when you get home, your dad will be sitting on his front porch. He said, you go and ask him. And so Tom tells about how he went to his dad's and how at first he kind of hem-hawed around and asked his dad, well, did you and mom get in an argument before I was conceived? And his dad says, no, maybe a little. And he says, no, I mean a knockdown drag out. And his dad said, how did you no, and broke and cried. And so this can happen. When you are with child, you need to try to keep things calm in the home. You need to, you know, Elizabeth got away, and we'll read about that here in a minute. But fighting can cause a lot of things to happen to a child. A mother, if she loses a loved one or is consumed with grief before you're born, you might come and have deep sadness. You might be depressed. You might again have a death wish on you or a fear of dying. You might be lonely. You might even say, I will have to depend on myself. And all this could have happened because of your mother grieving or losing a loved one. If your parents had sexual desires that were violent, that were not according to God's word, or if they had more than one sexual partner, maybe they cheated on each other while you were pregnant or your parents were pregnant, then you might be real frigid in your sexual activities with your husband. You might have a fear of the male organ. You might not have a real good, healthy attitude about sex in your marriage. Or if the mother was scared of gaining weight when she was pregnant with you and she didn't eat properly, that could be where some of our weight problem comes, that we just eat all the time. And we need to break that off of us. And it also could make us very angry. Those are some of the things that can happen in the womb. Turn to Luke 1:44. Okay, I'm going to go up to 41. And this says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Then go down to 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in the womb for joy. You see, the baby can hear what's going on. You are a creative being in your mother's stomach. And that's why all the fighting, all these situations that I've read to you can affect the baby in the womb before the baby is ever born. Okay, the second thing is that can cause a wounded spirit is abuse. So turn to Psalms 69:20. Psalm 69:20 says, reproach hath broken my heart. What is reproach? Shame, disgrace, and broken your heart means the same thing, remember, as crippled, crushed, wounded. And I was full of heaviness, which means I was full of sickness. So you were shamed. You were disgraced. And it crushed you. It hurt your heart. And you were full of sickness. And it says, I looked for some to take pity. You looked, you waited, you were eagerly longing for some help somewhere. And the pity never came. No one showed grief to you at all. But there was none, it says, for the comforter or the consoler, but I found none. So many times that when I was teaching school, I saw a lot of children being bullied. And a lot of you have maybe been bullied in your life. You know, you've been called names, four eyes, you know, if you wear glasses, or fatty, you know, if you were way too fat or too slim, they made up names for you, or they would take your name and make it into something funny, you know, like the kids always called me Rolling Stone, you know, which that's okay, you know, but they could be cruel names that they can make up and call each other. And so many times when you're bullied or hurt, there seemed to be no one there to help you, and it crushes, it wounds the spirit. All right, turn to Proverbs 26:28. It says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. A lying tongue means a wrongful tongue is hated. A wrongful tongue is hated. Those that are crushed by it. You know, so many times in our homes, some of you, when you grew up, you had a father that yelled and screamed, verbal abuse, cussed at you, cussed at your mother. These things are hurtful. You might have had a step-parent that treated you badly, that wounded your spirit way back then. And in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can speak death to somebody, or you can speak life. And some of us have been spoken to very harshly. Some of our husbands have spoke to us very harshly with hurting words that have cut right to the soul. It's cut us deep. And some of us have blocked this out because we don't want to come forth. We don't want to admit these things because we don't want to, for our husbands to look bad. We don't want our marriages to look bad. But ladies, I'm telling you, it's time to get your healing from all these things. If you let the wounded spirit go and you keep pushing it down and pushing it down and pushing it down, then I'll tell you, you'll do what I did a couple months ago. It's all going to explode. It's all going to hit the fan. Everything will. Because it will come out. God is bringing everything to the surface. Nothing today is being hid. And that is for our good. And as long as you keep things hidden, Satan has a foothold. But when it's gone, when it's over with, then you have a freedom in God that you never had before. Okay? Turn to Psalms 109, verse 22. It says, "For I am poor," meaning lowly, afflicted, weak, and needy, meaning a subject of oppression and abuse. And my heart, my soul, is wounded. It's pierced within me. Within me is your seat of thought and emotion. You're crippled. You're probably walking with God. You're doing a lot of things with God. But you're not doing everything you can with God because you're not totally free. There are people that even maybe some of you, after this, you will go home and be beat up. Be physically abused. It took a lot for you to come to this meeting. You know, our sister was talking earlier about how television doesn't always have to be bad. But you know what? That's up to you. If you turn it on these programs that have physical violence or have pornography or show wives being beaten and slapped around and children injured and all that, that comes into your home. And some of your husbands may be watching some of these things. I don't know all the situations you're in, but I know some of you are hurting, and some of you need releasement from it. Some of you might have been physically abused earlier in life, and you need to be healed. Turn to 2 Samuel 13:20. So there's verbal abuse, there's physical abuse, and then some of us have been sexually abused. And it says, "And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, Hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee?" That's incest. Her brother came and had intercourse with her. "But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother." The other brother is saying, "Be quiet. Keep your mouth shut. Don't you tell anybody about this. This is a family matter. Regard not this thing." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. She remained awestruck, appalled, and deserted. Some of you at an early age probably were raped or incest, molested in some kind of way, and you were told to keep your mouth shut. And some of you have all these years and have either blocked it out and tried not to think about it or been tormented over and over and over. Just the look at a picture of the person or the smell of the cologne that they wore or anything can just set it off in your mind, in the memory recall. These things need to be healed. These things you need to be delivered of. Some of you might have gotten off into homosexuality. All right? The third thing that can cause a wounded spirit is sorrow. Turn to Proverbs 15:13. Proverbs 15:13. It says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful," that's a joyful, "countenance on your face. But by sorrow," that means pain, hurt, injury, wound of the heart, "the spirit is broken." That means your inner man has been wounded and stricken. So it shows on our countenance. I know my new daughter-in-law, she's been good for me. She says, "You always look down all the time." I'm going to try to look up more. I'm going to try, Jamie. And, you know, maybe it had something to do with that wounded spirit. You see, because our countenance should show the Lord glowing all over our face. And it's not a fake thing. I don't mean that. And we can, you know, go around like that. That's not what it's talking about. But it shows on your face. What's inside shows on the outside. Psalm 73:21. "Thus my heart was grieved." That means my heart was embittered. "And I was pricked." I was pierced in my reins, in my kidneys. Do any of you ladies have kidney problems? You have bladder infections? You have anything wrong? Any kind of infections? It says because your heart was grieved. It was embittered. One of the things that can cause kidney problems is you have sorrow in your heart. You've been grieving. Look at Psalm 6:7. That's another one. Psalm 6:7. It says, "Mine eye is consumed because of grief." Now, that could mean your physical eyes. It could mean your spiritual eyes, that you can't see clearly spiritually because you have so much grief and sorrow in your life. How can this happen? Well, one way it can happen is by divorce. And in Genesis, you don't have to turn here particularly. In Genesis 2:24, it says, "There shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." It's not God's perfect plan for divorce. You are cleaved together. It's like glue. You are one. You, your spouse, and the Lord. But sometimes it doesn't always work this way, and when the divorce happened, it's unglued and it's a ripping of your soul. It's a wounding of your spirit. And your memory recall will take you back to hurts and unforgiveness and self-pity and the victim spirit, and all those things will take you back to that time. And so you have to come to a point that you forgive that spouse, you go on with your life. Another example is death of a loved one. You might have lost a husband, a child, a parent, or a close friend. And sometimes this is really tough for us. I want to show you something here. Turn to Genesis 50. Verse 2 and 3. Okay, it says, this is when Jacob died, and they were in with Joseph. And it said, "And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him. For so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed, and the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. They mourned for Jacob 40 days. And then if you go up to verse 10, it says in the last part of that chapter, they asked if they could take Jacob's body and bury it somewhere else. And after the family went, it says in verse 8, "And all the house of Joseph and his brethren and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there they went up with him, both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company." And it goes on down to say, "There they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation, and he made a mourning for his father for 7 days. So They mourned an average of 47 days for a loved one. They mourned. They grieved. They got it out. It didn't say they mourned for 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. If you're still mourning for a child that died or a spouse that died or a parent that died or a close friend that died, more than, I would say, 6 months, it's too long. You need to get prayer. There is a time that you do mourn, though. All right, the fourth thing that can cause a wounded spirit or hurts from the church leadership. Turn to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, 9 through 11. It says, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets." It says, "All my bones shook. I am like a drunken man, and all the man whose wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. And for the land is full of adulteress, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord." Some of you have been in church fights. You've gotten upset with your leadership, with your pastors, with your Sunday school teachers, with just people that are Christians among you. You need to forgive them. You must submit to authority. That's part of what the scriptures say. And you don't come against authority, not unless you want to get sick. So you've got to make these things right. If you've been hurt in the church, you need to get prayer for that and move on from it. The last thing, number 5, is guilt. Some of you have very, very much guilt. Turn to Psalms 38, verse 4 through 10. And let me show you what guilt will cause. Some of you feel so guilty because you think, "I was a bad parent. My children have turned out so bad. And I didn't do this right. I didn't do that right. I put them in situations I shouldn't have put them in. They had a step-parent they shouldn't have had." All this guilt you've let just add up on yourself. Okay, let's see what the Word says. It says, let's go to 3. Let's go on up to 3. "There is no soundness in my flesh because of mine anger." You're so angry with yourself. "Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." You just condemn yourself all the time. And your body is so weak, you don't have any rest in your bones because this guilt keeps creeping up and creeping up. "If I'd only done this, if I would have done that, they wouldn't be in this, they wouldn't be in that." You're not assured of that. "For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down." Have you seen people all bowed over like this? They have so much guilt and grieving. "I am mourning all the day long, for my loins," which are your sexual female parts, "are filled with burning disease." You have burnings, your female parts, "and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble," meaning I'm numb, "and sore," that means much broken, much crushed. "I have roared by reason of the disquietment of my heart." Your heart is wounded. "Lord, all my desire is before you, and my groanings, my sighings, I have not hid from you." Do you go around all the time? You shake your head. I did that. It's all signs of a broken spirit. Do you have addictions? Drugs, alcohol, smoking? Were you not a good parent? Did you commit various sexual sins? Premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, incest? Did you have an abortion that you just cannot forgive yourself about? God forgives you. God forgives everything. Did you get pregnant out of wedlock? Can you not forgive yourself for these things? Psalms 102, verse 4 says, "My heart is smitten," meaning my heart is wounded, "and withered, It means it's dried up. It has no moisture in it, like the grass. So that I forgive, that means to cease or to care to eat my bread, food. Now, I don't have that problem when I grieve. It seems like I want to eat more, okay? But some people, when they grieve, they don't eat food. They just can't eat. And some of you in here, that might be the way it is for you. That is a wounded spirit. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart, that's the soul part, with all diligence. Be a watchguard over your heart. For out of it is the issues of life. Out of it you escape from death. You have to guard yourself. When screaming and hollering comes, when situations in your home comes, and we all have these things, we all have issues in our home, then you've got to guard your soul. You've got to guard your heart. And you've got to look to the Lord, because it is His joy where your strength lieth. That is where your strength cometh from. All right, I want you to ask yourself these things. These are signs of a wounded spirit. Are you preoccupied with past injuries? Do you think about things that have happened to you in the past? They keep rolling over and over in your mind. Do you view yourself as a victim? Are you always in poor me attitude? Why did this happen to me, God? I didn't deserve this. I did everything right. I took my children to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time the door opened. And now look at them, Lord. Poor me, poor me. I'm the only one with bad children. I'm the only one that lives with a bad husband. It's all so pitiful. Do you sigh? Do you groan? Do you shake your head? Does your face show misery? Are you slumped in your shoulders? Do you blame others for your misery? Is there anyone you haven't forgiven? That is such a big thing. That's our whole Christian walk, forgiveness and love, forgiveness and love. You have to forgive. Okay. Turn to Luke 4:18. This is my last scripture. And we're going to do something. Got to wake you up. This is what Jesus said. This is when He stood up and He told who He was. I think we read this sometimes and we don't realize what this verse is telling us and what it promises us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me. What does it mean to be anointed? It meant that Jesus was consecrated to the office, and He was furnished with the necessary powers for the administration. He was anointed to do this. It also means that today we as Christians have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are up there with Him in that office to bring these things about. That's what the anointing's about. What are we going to do? We're going to preach the gospel. What does that mean? It means we're going to instruct men and women concerning the things that pertain to the Christian salvation. The church doesn't know the things of God. And we have got to learn them, and then we have to teach them or preach them to others so the church knows. We have to be anointed to do that. Who are we going to preach this to? The poor. Who are the poor? It's us, the helpless, the needy, the afflicted, the ones that are destitute of Christian virtues and internal riches, the ones that are destitute of wealth and influence and position and honor. We don't have to be wealthy. Can be. Don't have to be. The people that are reduced to begging. That's us. We beg. God, we need You, God. We need You. I have needs. I need to be free. He has sent me to heal. What does it mean to heal? It means to cure, to make whole, to make free of error and sin, and to bring about one's salvation. What's he going to heal? He's going to heal the brokenhearted, the one with the wounded spirit, what we've talked about today. What is someone that's brokenhearted? They're broken into pieces. They're trodden down. They're crushed. Their body is torn and their strength is shattered. We don't have to be that way. He came to heal that. To preach, you know, that's like blowing a trumpet when we preach. Always with the suggestion of formality, gravity, and an authority which must be listened to and obeyed. We're going to preach what? Deliverance. What is deliverance? We hear that word all the time. It's the Greek says it's forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed, yes. Remission of the penalty, release from the bondage or imprisonment. Yes. So why would we want to stay in prison with all these wounds and hurts? Why? Beats me. To preach deliverance to the captive. To recover the sight of the blind. And so many times we think about physical sight, but that means mental blindness. Yeah. To open our eyes that we can say, I see it, God. I see what caused it, God. You know, when you get sick, I appreciate those that say, I got this arthritis because I did not forgive my mother. Or whatever. When you get something and you need to sincerely ask God, why do I have this? And I'll guarantee you He'll show you. But then you've got to step up to the plate and take the responsibility and say, oh God, thank you. And then you have to forgive that mother, if that's what the issue was, or forgive that husband, or forgive that child, or release certain situations to the Lord, and then you will get your healing. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Liberty, again, means the same thing as deliverance. The bruised, who are the bruised? It's the people that are wounded, wounded in the spirit realm, in the soulish areas. So what we're going to do now, we're going to hand out some towels, and we're going to have an old-time deliverance. A coming out party.
I said, I know it was plowing, but I
don't. Now, the way I like to do deliverance, we give everybody a towel. Nobody is excluded, not even myself. That way, thank you, ma'am. If the Lord, ever how the Lord decides to move, let Him do the work. Nancy, if anybody manifests, if you get up and help pray, if you don't mind. Thank you. Jane? Okay, we got it. All right, and these ladies are very capable. If you need help, they will be up. Nancy and Carla and Ada, I've asked them to help. And if you would like to help, Mary, you're welcome to her. If you want to get prayer, that's fine. Okay. Okay, guys, you know, God is good. You have been taught three lessons on the heart issues, and now it's time to release it. I think it's been covered pretty good, and you know what? It must really be an issue, and God loves us so much to teach it three times different ways, don't you think? Amen. So if you leave here with a wounded spirit, it's no one's fault but your own. I will never remember. You know, my daughter-in-law, we have lots of talks. I just love her. I just keep mentioning her here. But, you know, I don't ever remember what I prayed for her. And we prayed for her 3 years before she became my daughter-in-law. And I don't know. And I probably won't remember. You know, someone always, they'll come up to me and they say, do you remember when you prayed for me? No, not really. Why don't I remember that? You know? Why don't I remember that? I want to see how you are and what God has done. And so if you've got issues, get them out. If I have issues, I promise God will probably take them out of me right now too. And that's, praise God. Like I said, I didn't even know I had this wounded spirit till a couple weeks ago. And I praise God for the freedom. I praise God that I'm going to try to look up instead of down. I'm sure Jamie will remind me. She's full of laughter if you've been around her. All right. Here we go. Lord, We just present ourselves to you. And God, we know that you died and that it's by your blood, your cleansing blood, Lord, that will free us, Lord, from all these hurts and wounds that we've had in our life. And God, I just want to thank you, God, for bringing forth, Lord, the teachings, Lord. And God, I ask that your anointing be here, God, and that you free us. You free us totally from all these things. Now, one thing the Lord's pricking me about, some of you are new, and I don't know if all of you have ever had deliverance, but when we start praying, demonic powers, demons come out through your senses. You might sweat. You might cry. You might cough. All kinds of ways they come out. And ever how they want to come out, they may scream. Whatever they want to do, let it go, because the main thing is that you get free. Okay? All right. First, another thing I want to do too. God keeps stopping me. I'm sorry, ladies. No, I'm not sorry, because it's God. I want you to bow your heads, and I want you to think of anyone that you have unforgiveness for right now. And I want you to make it right with that person or persons, because unforgiveness can hold back deliverance. Lord, we just lift this person or these persons up to you right now, God. Lord, I'm explaining to you why I have this unforgiveness toward them. God, I'm repenting of it, Lord. I'm remitting their sin in this area. I'm remitting my sin of having unforgiveness toward them. And God, I ask that you release me, Lord, from this unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of unforgiveness right now in the name of Jesus, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of resentment in the name of Jesus. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of retaliation, all spirits of wanting to get back at them, all spirits of wishing them harm in the name of Jesus. Go, go. I bind every hatred spirit, all hatred in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of wishing they would die, and all the word curses I spoke toward them, saying, I wish they would just die. I wish they were dead. I wish I was released in the name of Jesus. I break that murdering spirit right now of your words in the name of Jesus. Go. And I break the whole strand of bitterness, all bitterness in the name of Jesus. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Loose me. Loose me and set me free. I break all spirits of self-pity in the name of Jesus. Go. Poor me attitudes. Go. In the name of Jesus. Loose me. Loose me. In the name of Jesus. Loose me. Loose me. And set me free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind all spirits of striving in the name of Jesus, and performance orientation in the name of Jesus. Loose me that entered me in the wound in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of rejecting someone before they reject me in the name of Jesus. I command all deep, deep rejection from the wound to come out, to come out, to come out and set me free. It set me free. All apologizing spirits in the name of Jesus, where I keep apologizing and apologizing and apologizing. Loose me in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of death off of you in the name of Jesus. I break all death wishes that you've spoke over yourself in the name of Jesus, and I command them to loose you and to set you free in the name of Jesus. Go, go in Jesus' name. I break every spirit of you refusing affection by anybody in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. All refusing affection, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break all the deep sense of shame that came from being conceived out of wedlock in the name of Jesus. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them. All the lack of not feeling like you belong in the name of Jesus. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. All fear of man. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Loose these people. Loose them. Loose them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. Go. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits feeling like you're a burden in the name of Jesus, go. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits feeling like you're an intrusion, that you don't belong, in the name of Jesus, loose these people. Loose them in Jesus' name. All emotional responsibilities that are false towards your parents, in the name of Jesus. All overprotectiveness of your parents, in Jesus' name. Feeling a responsibility that shouldn't be, in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 in Jesus' name. I bind all boy spirits in the name of Jesus that entered in birth because your parents wanted a boy instead of a girl. In the name of Jesus, loose you, loose you, loose you. Set you free. All feelings of I was wrong from the beginning. In the name of Jesus, I was born this way. I was born different. In the name of Jesus, all homosexuality and lesbian spirits, go. Go. In the name of Jesus, loose these people. All little boy spirits, go. Go. In the name of Jesus, loose them. Loose them. In the name of Jesus. I break all spirits of being over-serious, overachieving. In the name of Jesus, loose these people. Loose these people. In the name of Jesus, I bind the replacement spirit of not getting to be me in the name of Jesus. All of you that were born after miscarriages, go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Loose them in the name of Jesus. All fear of childbirth, all of you that were fearful of having children in the name of Jesus. And I break all hatred of children right now in the name of Jesus. I break all hatred of children. Loose these people. Loose them. Loose them. All murdering spirits. I break the curse of Moloch right now in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. All abortion spirits, go, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All spirits of not wanting to be a parent in the name of Jesus, go, go. All selfish spirits in Jesus' name, go, go in Jesus' name. I bind where there were fighting in the home, all nervousness and uptightness, go in the name of Jesus. All jumpiness, all jumping to a control of discussion when differences of opinion emerge in the name of Jesus. Go, all bossiness, all nagging spirits. Loose these women. Loose, loose. All having to get the last word in an argument or a conversation. Go, go in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Feeling guilty. I'm the reason for the quarrel. Go in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. All guilt and self-blame because of a father dying or leaving in the name of Jesus. Go, go in Jesus' name. All anger toward that father for dying or leaving in the name of Jesus. Go. All bitter roots, expectations to be abandoned in the name of Jesus. All fear of being abandonment. All fear of being alone in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All depression because your father left in the name of Jesus. Go. Go, go, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Loose these people, loose them, in the name of Jesus. All deep sadness, deep, deep sadness. Go, 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 in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. All losing of a loved one that you can't support yourself. All fear of supporting yourself and being alone and not wanting to be alone. All fear of not having that, not only financial support, but that spiritual support and that support of a man being around. Go in the name of Jesus. And all the things that you've said, I will just depend on myself. I can do it myself. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them in the name of Jesus. All frigidness in sexual activities in the name of Jesus. All frigidness, all fear of the male organ in the name of Jesus. Go, go. Unhealthy attitudes towards sex. Go, go in the name of Jesus. I bind all molestation in the name of Jesus. All victimism in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All hunger that cannot be satisfied in the name of Jesus. Overeating, eating and eating and eating that could have come in at in the womb when your mother was afraid of how much weight she would gain or how much weight you would gain, where you had fears in that area. Loose these people. Loose them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go. Go. I bind all bully spirits where you were called names by people at school or on your job or in your family in the name of Jesus. All name calling. Go. Go. All hurtful spirits. Go, go in this area. All verbal abuse of any kind. Loose you. All screaming and yelling from your father. Go in the name of Jesus. All screaming and yelling from your spouse. Go in the name of Jesus. All crushing and hateful words. All word curses. Go. I bind that cockatrice spirit in the name of Jesus. Loose these people. Loose them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go. Go, go, all physical abuse. I break those holds. I break those powers. I break those hurts in the name of Jesus of all physical abuse in the name of Jesus. I ask God to restore your eyes from all the things that you've seen, all magazines, all pornography, all television programs in the name of Jesus, all things that were not good, all violence, all people being slapped and beat around and children being injured in the name of Jesus. I break those holds. I break that physical abuse off of you and out of you in the name of Jesus. I break all sexual abuse in the name of Jesus out of your mind, out of your emotions, out of your soulish area in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of rape right now in the name of Jesus, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus, and all hurt, all mind that brings you back to that scene in the name of Jesus, all your mind that replays that event over and over and over and over, all things that trigger that event, I ask God to remove them from your mind right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all incest, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of incest over you. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus, I break all soul ties between you and that person that committed rape or incest. In the name of Jesus, I break those soul ties right now. In the name of Jesus, I pull their soul out of you. I pull it out in the name of Jesus. And I pull your soul out of them, and I ask God, as in Psalms 23, to restore your soul right now, to restore it completely in the name of Jesus. I break all homosexual ties in the name of Jesus. I break that hold over you. I break that mindset over you in the name of Jesus. I break soul ties between you and that partner in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loose you, and set you free. In the name of Jesus, I bind all sorrow in the heart right now, all sorrow that keeps you from that cheerful countenance in the name of Jesus. Loose these people. Loose them. Come out of their reins right now. Come out of their kidneys right now in the name of Jesus. All sorrow and grief. Come out of the kidneys. Come out, come out, come out. I speak a healing over those kidneys right now in the name of Jesus. I speak a healing over your bladder in the name of Jesus. I bind all sexual sins that have lodged in those kidneys right now in the name of Jesus. I command them to loose you in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out, come out, and free those kidneys up to function to the Word of God in the name of Jesus. I ask that your eyes, all grief and sorrow that have entered your spiritual eyes as well as your physical eyes, I ask that it be released from us, from our eyes, Lord, that we can have good vision, Lord. Heal us, Lord, that no glasses will be needed, Lord, from any of us. In the name of Jesus, all grief and sorrow come out of the eyes right now in the name of Jesus. I bind all things that our eyes have seen that have not been godly and Christian virtues. And God, I ask that you pull that out of our eyes. And God, we ask forgiveness and remission of our sins for it. And God, all memory recall of those things, loose us. Loose us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break the curse of divorce over these people in the name of Jesus. I break that curse in the name of Jesus. I pull out that spouse's soul of that first marriage in the name of Jesus. I pull it out. I pull it out. And I pull your soul out of them in the name of Jesus. And I set you free in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of divorce over second marriages in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it. I break it. I pull their soul out of you in the name of Jesus. I pull your soul out of them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break any other divorce, third, fourth, fifth, whatever, ever how many times, I break that curse off of you in the name of Jesus. I break any effects of divorce off of any of you that are married now. I break it off that it will not enter your marriage. I break it off in the name of Jesus. Loose this congregation now in the name of Jesus. Loose us and set us free. I break off any grieving of any loved one, a husband, a child, a parent, a close friend. I break that grieving that's gone too long, that's gone over 6 months. I break it off. I break it off and ask God that you set us free. Set us free, God. Set us free in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break any hurt that have come down from church leadership. I break all bad soul ties between you and any pastors of churches that have disappointed you in the name of Jesus. I break any bad soul ties between you and any Sunday school teacher or any other song leader or anybody that's leadership of the church. And God, we ask forgiveness and ask you to remit our sins in this area, Lord. I break also ties between you and any church member that you've gotten into it with in the name of Jesus. Loose us and set us free. Loose us and set us free. And I break all effects of premarital sex off of every one of us. God, we repent, Lord. We repent that we were not a virgin when we got married. And God, we ask that you loose us from this curse. And loose our children, Lord, and set all of our generation free, God. And we ask forgiveness, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. I lift all sighing and groaning and shaking of the head and facial misery and slumped shoulders. I rebuke those in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I speak forth on these people and on myself the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord to fill us, Lord, from the top of our heads to the bottom of our souls in the name of Jesus. Go play that. In the name of Jesus, God, fill us up. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength, is our strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Patty says we have 15 minutes, and then we all need to show back up for Diane Bijou.
This is the end of this message.